Now we have here in chapter 11, I read verse 1. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. Now, this is the man that we're looking at here, and the first thing I would call your attention to is that he's an outstanding leader. But he has this black mark against him. He's the son of a harlot. And that simply meant, in that day, it was a strange woman, that is, a stranger from outside. Proverbs 2:16 speaks of beware of the strange woman. Well, that was the woman that came in from the outside, who was a harlot. And so that's what his mother was. And Josephus says that she is a Gentile. And the Jewish writings have called her an Ishmaelite. Well, he was the son of a common heathen prostitute. It was a stigma that brands a person from birth, and I don't care who it is. And this man was exiled. He was excommunicated, ostracized. Notice verse 2. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Now he's put out, and the law of Moses would also exile him. You will recall we looked at that some time ago in Deuteronomy 23:2, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, this is a handicap, though, that many men have overcome. Kings and emperors and generals, poets and popes have been illegitimate children. William the Conqueror. He didn't sign his name William the Conqueror. Do you know how he signed it? He signed his name William the Bastard. That's what he was. Don John of Austria also, and there were several popes, and we could give others. Now, as an exile, this is what Jephthah did. Verse 3 of chapter 11 of Judges. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. That is, men that had no purpose in life. They had been put out of society, as it were. And therefore, he headed a rabble. May I say, he was sort of an ancient Robin Hood. And here is this man with three hurdles that he'd have to get over to become a leader. To begin with, he's the son of a harlot. He's exiled by his brethren. And his leadership is only of a despised, rejected group. Now, he's not a very likely man to be used. But you see, God chooses things like this. And he was rejected and driven out. But you know, God moves in a mysterious way, and he chooses the things that are despised in this word, and God also humbles those he intends to use. You remember, he humbled Joseph, and he humbled Moses, and he humbled David, and our Lord Jesus himself, it was said of him, he was despised and rejected of man. And he's called a stone the builders rejected, has become the head of the corner. And they said, we'll not have this man to rule over us, but God hath given him a name that's above many names. You know, there are those today, though, friends, that claim to be sons of God. They're illegitimate. I think God rejects those, by the way. You can only become a legitimate son of God by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. This man's life is wrapped up in three words. Jephthah was exiled. And we've seen that. Now Jephthah was exalted. And then we see Jephthah excited. Now notice he was exalted here. It came to pass, I'll read verse 4, in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. It was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, The elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we might fight with the children of Ammon. Now notice Jephthah. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. You see, they make him a pretty good proposition here. Now notice Jephthah. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. He makes it difficult for them, but they have to swallow their pride and accept it. Now Jephthah takes charge. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them, and Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And I'm not going over it here, but you'll find an extended section where Jephthah outlines the way that they came into that land, and that land really belonged to them, and the way that they got it was a legitimate way. And the Ammonites, of course, were attempting not only to drive them off the land, but to exterminate them. Now, the thing that is happening over in that land today, and has happened now for several years, especially since Israel became a nation, it's the repetition of the same old story, of trying to get them out of that land and remove them from it and actually exterminate them, drive them into the sea. So this is the same thing that you have here. And Jephthah outlines the program, the history, and the reason they're in that land and the basis on which they occupied. Now, I'll not go over it, but very candidly, it'll pay you to read it for the very simple reason. He has a very reasonable basis and reveals they have a very legitimate claim to that land. Now we come, and I must drop down now to verse 28. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Now, the king of Ammon just totally rejected the paper that apparently Jephthah had sent to him, and he said that he would not accept it at all. Now we read in verse 29, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. Now he leads out the army of Israel against the Ammonites. But when he passes through the land and finally gets there and gets a look at the Ammonites, he's a little fearful. And he does something that he probably, under normal circumstances, would not have done. Now, you must remember, this man had been exiled. He'd spent years in exile. Now, all of a sudden, he's exalted to the highest place. He's made a judge. And his natural reaction of a man suddenly elevated, that he becomes excited. And in his excitement and exaltation, you know, he could have made a very rash promise or a rash statement. And this is exactly what he did. Now, another thing we should consider, you must remember that he did not have the light that you have this day. He's one half pagan himself with a heathen background. He did know God, but he didn't know him very well. And God did not require him to make a vow. The victory was not the reward for Jephthah doing something. Jephthah had every assurance that God would give him victory. And yet, notice what he did. Verse 30, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands. Now, what'll he do? Then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Now, this man didn't need to make a rash vow like that. God didn't put it on that basis at all. He had every assurance that God had given him victory. To begin with, his cause was just. Listen to verse 27. This is Jephthah speaking now to the children of Ammon and the king of Ammon. Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Now his cause was just. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing, God had elevated him to this high position. He should have recognized the hand of God had brought him there. And if God had brought him that far, he'd see him through. And then, we saw back in verse 29, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And, well, he just didn't need to make that vow. And he made it rather rashly. Imagine saying, whatever comes out to meet me, why, I will deliver it to the Lord. It'll be the Lord's. And after all, if it was a person came to meet him, they might not be in agreement with him. Now notice verse 35. And it came to pass when he saw her, that is his daughter, that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. He'd made a vow to God, and he feels like he cannot go back. Now, did he offer his daughter in sacrifice? Let's look at this for just a moment now. There is a Greek myth about Agamemnon, who offered his daughter, Iphigenia, at Aulis, to obtain favorable winds when they were going to Troy. You may or may not be acquainted with that Greek myth, but he did actually offer his daughter. He was a pagan heathen. Now, Scripture's actually silent. It does not say either way, and I want you to see that. Scripture never finds fault with him. You need to note that. In Hebrews 11:32, it says, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and the prophets. And he's put with a very fine group of men there, by the way. And the Bible never finds fault with him. Now the Scripture says, thou shalt not kill. And God made it rather specific about offering children. Over in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, at verse 31, I'm going to read this. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Now God says, I won't ask you to do that, and you're not to do that. That's pagan and heathen. Now let's go back a moment. God did not permit Abraham to offer Isaac. We need to recognize that the whole point was, how far will Abraham go with God? He'll go all the way. He lifted that knife, and as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was a dead boy. But as far as God was concerned, that can't happen. God will not permit his man to do it, and he stopped him. Now, the construction that's placed upon the language here, I think, will determine the interpretation. Now, will you notice this? And that's verse 31. And I want you to notice it. Then it shall be. Now, this is Jephthah speaking. Then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. Now, that's important to see. Now, I'm going to change the reading just a little. Or, I will offer up a burnt offering. Now, Jephthah said, I'll do one of two things. I'll offer a burnt offering, or I'll offer a give to the Lord. And if he could give the first to the Lord, that would be top priority. Suppose it had been a friend, a neighbor that had come in. He'd have no right to dedicate or offer that individual. Now the question is, did he offer his daughter as a burnt offering? I don't think so. The thing that we need to note here is that what he did was she never married. And that was worse than death for any Hebrew woman. And for Jephthah, here's a man, he's illegitimate himself. He has a daughter. He wants her to marry and that he could have grandchildren. That's what this man wants. But that daughter now comes forth from the door and he's going to offer her up to the Lord. And that means she'd never marry. Now you say to me, can you be sure of that? Will you listen now to this girl? And I want to read this section, verse 36. She said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, forasmuch as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. Now this daughter was obedient. She said, Whatever you promised the Lord, why, I'll be obedient. Now listen to this. She didn't understand it as a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice. Listen to verse 37. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. What does she mean? Why, that she is not going to marry, friends. She's to bewail the fact of her virginity, that she is to be presented as a bride to some man. She's not. Her life is to be dedicated to the Lord. Now, let's go on with that. Verse 38, And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months. She went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. Now notice verse 39 and 40. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means she didn't get married. She dedicated her life to the Lord. And it was the custom in Israel, verse 40 now, of chapter 11 of Judges, that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. And the word lament means celebrate. That the daughters of Israel went yearly to celebrate. It was a time of celebration that here is a woman totally dedicated to the Lord and to the Lord's service. Hasn't anything to do with human sacrifice. Now, the thing that is important here, and I don't want you to miss, friends, is this. People have argued for years. I get that question on my question and answer program about as much as any other. Did Jephthah offer his daughter? That's not the point. He didn't offer his daughter in a burnt sacrifice. He didn't do that. May I say to you, God would not have permitted it. But the important thing is, and it's the significant factor, that Jephthah kept his vow. His vow was something sacred. He did not trifle. It wasn't an idle boast. It wasn't a hollow promise. It wasn't a sham statement. The Word of God, you know, has some severe and sharp things to say relative to a vow. Now, I went over this thoroughly in the book of Leviticus. But notice what Ecclesiastes says in chapter 5, verse 2. And we'll come to that, of course, later. But let me turn there. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. My friend, you'll do well to promise God only what you can see you can execute. Oh, I'm afraid today there's so many Christians, they go down to an altar. They've been in little services where they burn candles. And they've dedicated and dedicated themselves until it actually smells to high heaven. God says, don't be rash with your mouth. Now, verse 4 of Ecclesiastes 5, When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Now, God says you're a fool if you make a vow to him carelessly. And you might think that over, Christian friend, before in the next dedication service you don't rush down to the altar and say, I'm offering God everything. May I say to you, this man Jephthah had a sweet, lovely daughter. He was an illegitimate child. His mother was a harlot. He wanted this girl to marry, and he wanted grandchildren, and now he dedicates her to the Lord. You know what he did? He kept his vow. Christians today are notorious at making vows and breaking them. I noted that when I began to move in Christian circles, because I was not brought up that way. And when I came in, I remember when I was in my teens, I worked in a bank, and I was bonded like anyone over 21, but I was not. And I went to a young people's conference, and I'd never had any exposure to anything Christian. 18 young people went forward that night, dedicated themselves to the Lord for full-time Christian service. I wouldn't go forward. I didn't know, but I wanted to, but I didn't know whether I could make good or not. May I say to you, out of those 18, not one of them ever entered full-time service. Have you made a vow to God? Well, if you have, he wants you to keep it. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Oh, he keeps his word. Let us keep our word. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, keep you from evil. My, how wonderful he is, and how foolish we are. Jephthah should be a lesson to us today.